Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to Cash Cuties, a super personal finance podcast where we look at our friends' credit card statements and judge their spending habits. With love, I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
Hi, and I'm Steffi Bate.
And we're back for another week, babies. Steffi, it's been a minute. How are you doing financially?
I'm like super stoked because I got a new credit card after you shitted on my credit card last time. My plastic card. I had a Chase. Now
Chase Freedom.
Yeah. One-upped you with a metal card, and I got the Amex Platinum, baby.
Did it come?
Ooh. Yeah, huh?
Did it came.
It
already?
Came. It came like in 2 days. They want me to spend it. They want me to use and do some shit with it. So wow. Now I'm like very excited, and it makes me feel so rich because now it's like I have all these points. It is a $700 credit card, but
a year.
But I made sure that
was this a good decision?
It was a great decision.
Okay, go on. Okay. Why?
First of all, because I get to like shit on your card now.
That's true. You will not be. Yeah.
Yes. There are so many ways I can make up for that credit for the $700. It's way over the $700. I get like $400 in travel credit, so hotels and just traveling just generally.
Right.
I get $200 back in Uber or Uber Eats credit, up to 240 on either Audibles or any sort of streaming platform. So I already signed up for Audibles, which I didn't really need, but now it's like, I know.
I don't even know what is so Audibles.
Audibles?
It's like a podcast or books?
No, it's like a website. Yeah, it's like an app that you people just like read a book to you. Yeah, it's an Audible version of a book.
Okay. So what is that total? Everything you just described, what is that?
It's 400 or 500. That's over 800, I think, right now.
There's no way it's 800 because 700 is a
no. 400
thing.
in what did I just say right now?
Travel.
Yeah. Then 200 in Uber, so and then 200 in
Audibles. So you're saying
Audibles.
This card, they actually pay you to do it.
It's if not
you do
paying. That. I have to use it in credit. Like, yeah, it's you, not like
but,
they're going
to... travel, you're going to travel more than $400 worth a year, right?
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Uber, same thing.
Yeah.
So that's already 600. Yeah. And then you got the Audible, and what was the last one?
That's a $200 credit.
It
could be Hulu. It could be Netflix.
Right.
The annoying one. Are you feeling like?
No, jealous
right now? Because
I'll tell you why I feel a little insecure. But go ahead. you can finish your story.
I could give you some reasons.
Sorry. Don't talk yet. You're not in this podcast yet.
God damn, he is angry. Yes,
wait,
I like
go
this.
Go on.
I like it because he's always one-upping me on everything financially. So this is like the whole point.
Okay.
And what else? Oh, I didn't tell you that it also gives me free lounge access to Centurion lounges, which are the best ones, apparently.
We don't know what that is.
Hold on. Your card allows you to, you have a Chase Reserve, right?
Yes.
Which is supposed to be like the premium of the Chase or whatever.
Yeah.
I get Priority Pass, which is what you would have anyways with that credit card.
Priority Pass.
It's all the select lounges. Access.
See, we could talk about this with our guests later, but I don't understand lounges. I don't know where they are. I was specifically looking for them on this last trip from Ohio. I don't know if we have lounges in Ohio, but like I didn't see fucking shit. I don't know where these. I saw like a Delta Members Club, but that's not what you're talking about, right?
No.
So I don't know where they are.
Yeah.
Or what they are. But I guess I'm paying
for
it.
You're not making the most out of your card right now.
Okay, wait, can I just say something? So, I don't know, whatever we filmed episode 2, I was shitting on your stupid ass Chase Freedom card.
Yeah.
But then I was like reassessing my finances and I actually downgraded my credit card from a reserve to preferred. Chase
Why?
Reserve
just
because Chase Sapphire Reserve is $550 a year.
Yeah, and you're
and preferred is only $95 a year. And I was like, I don't know what 2023 is gonna look like. So I downgraded. So I guess my point is like your credit card is first appear than mine now.
Yeah, it is. And yeah. Now we're going to go out so I can like throw down my card anytime we go eat. To I make you feel like, embarrassed, I want you to feel ashamed.
I feel like I've turned you into a monster a little bit because you used to not care about this stuff. And now
I care a lot now. Okay. It's all because of this podcast.
That's great.
I'm going to be fucking so financially like smart and independent this year. It's going to be crazy.
But do you feel like, okay, here's my thing with Amex is that like you can't use it everywhere. And that's why I don't have that one. Because you're like, oh, I'm going to throw it down.
Where the
throw
fuck
down.
Are you traveling where you can't use an Amex? You're not going to like...
I don't ask every time. I just remember like in 2013, I remember like in New York, you not all business took Amex.
I mean, that's true. But yeah. That's why I also have a Chase.
They should really sponsor us.
No, come on, Amex.
They should sponsor us.
Amex, please. I'm selling the shit out of your card. It's amazing. And I know the point system if anyone wants to know anything about it. So how about you?
Well, my points or just
me? Just financially, how are you doing? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, we have to get to you.
No, I'm not as excited. I mean, you kicked off 2023 like with this whole point journey. Good for you. I'm very happy for you. I feel like I started 2023 like panicking financially because like 2023, like I have to figure out comedy, right? We've talked about this. Like I'm not working anywhere anymore. So like I truly have to figure out everything. My residual checks have run out. They don't come in anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm not getting random checks in the mail. So I went back to New York for New Year's and I was like obviously doing shows and stuff, and I got coffee with my old boss at this like marketing company I used to work for, and it was like half catching up, half in my mind I was like, oh, maybe I'm gonna ask him if I can like work there again or part-time. Jesus. That was my plan, and I go get coffee with him, and then he tells me that ever since I left, so he's always wanted to be a screenwriter. when I left this company to write for Gordon, he was like, I was really inspired. And he quit his job. He fucking quit his job. So I can't ask for that job back anymore because he's not there anymore.
What the fuck?
Which is insane because that was like my whole backup plan. So then that all exploded. But then like, I don't know, I talked to a lot of different people and I've calmed down. Mm-hmm. And I've decided to sort of like figure out comedy. I think I'm gonna make it work.
Okay.
You know, we got a shout out on Uber last week, you know?
Yeah.
From this podcast. That's so
that is so odd.
It is crazy because like it's one thing to ruin my life, but like I'm out here like inspiring other people. Like that's fucked up, you know. He has a family, he has a kid.
This I think happens a lot. He has a kid and he just left for fucking school to be a screenwriter.
Not, like, it's like poor or anything. It's just that like obviously they have a wife money. And they have it figured out.
This is typical, I feel like, in Hollywood where people are like leaving their like real jobs to like obviously come to
this
Hollywood.
Is New York.
In New York as well, whatever, everywhere.
Yeah,
this is insane. Today I found out that like a producer for like the movie that I made, like for the feature that I did, I found out that he was the VP. He's the one that wrote this movie.
Yeah,
he was the VP of Goldman Sachs.
He wrote this movie.
Yeah, he wrote this movie. God. He wrote Collateral Damage.
With you know that Tom movie? Cruise?
No,
and Jamie
no,
Foxx?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, what am I thinking of?
I mean, is Tom Cruise in it too? I don't know. Maybe he is.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
That's no, you can talk. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, this is a success story, but the success is going to come to you and maybe to that guy.
Yeah.
And then maybe he'll like...
Wait, I don't want to hear these stories because this is not... Every time I hear about like, oh, I worked at Facebook and made $400,000 and I sold a TV show to A24. I'm like, fuck you, dude. Yeah. Like, you can't have both. That's so fucked.
That's really
but
fucking
anyways,
rude.
So that's... my plan B has been blown up, so now I have to figure it out. And so thank you for listening and I hope you Venmo us money. Let's get to our guest. Our guest today, super excited to have her on.
Woo!
Good friend of mine. I forgot to ask how you wanted to be. How you wanted to be brought up. We don't really do credits on this podcast. We just sort of we introduce you by career, and we go by like what is your job. So what how would you like me to bring you up? I have you down as a professional comedian / white woman.
He said white woman.
That's so rude.
Is it?
If you came on my podcast and I was like professional comedian / Asian guy.
But I am professionally Asian. I am. But when people ask you what you do for a living, what do you say?
Depends on where I am. If I'm in an Uber, I'll say I'm a nurse.
Because you don't want to talk.
Because I don't want to talk. I don't want to hear like,
yes.
Oh, you work in comedy? Like, I love comedy. Do you know fucking, you know, who's the guy, the predator? You know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Chris D'Elia, love him.
Yeah, love him. And then so, or if I meet someone at a bar, I'll say marketing.
Why?
Because I don't want to talk about comedy.
Okay.
And
if I'm
hitting on a guy or a guy's hitting on me and I'm interested, the last thing a guy wants to hear is female comedian.
Because you have a lot of strong opinions. guess.
Is it? I don't know. This comedian thing. I hear a lot of women, like comedians, say this. Is this like a real turnoff for like?
Well, because guys want to be funny. They want to be the funny ones. Oh. So when a girl's like, "I'm a comedian," they either assume you're horrible, or they assume that you're gonna be funnier. It's just like not a turn on.
So wait,
it's like a male model. You're like, ew, what are you doing?
I hate that. Yeah. Okay, I like this analogy. Okay.
That's sad, and we'll talk about that. But what? Okay, if your parents say, "What do you do?"
You've heard my dating life, Fumi.
I know.
What part of my dating life has been
happy? What's on your LinkedIn, dude? Like, what do you tell?
My LinkedIn, I'm in a bikini. Are you kidding me? I'm in a muddy bikini and a cowboy hat.
Oh my god. Okay. So we're just gonna go with comedian, I guess. You know, you're a professional comedian.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see how you make it work, because you've had some success, but I know you've also some low points like all the other comedians. But please welcome to the show, Hannah Dickinson.
Thank you.
How are you doing financially?
Honestly, incredible.
Oh, Love to hear that. Never hear that from our kind.
Or wait, what do you mean? Oh,
white woman.
Comedian. Well, white woman trip too, you know, I was not doing financially great until like, honestly, last year.
Wow.
Wait, hold on a second.
I
don't think that's true. What were you doing?
I was always doing okay, but I feel like now I've traveled a lot this year.
Yeah.
I was able to, you know, go shopping, and I bought an apartment.
Yeah. Well, I just remember like I met you in like 2017 or so, and I never really thought of you as somebody who was dog walking, because if I remember correctly, you moved to New York with a writing job, and I remember being like jealous of that when I first met you, when we were both like 25 or 6 or however we were so young.
Yeah, it was weird. I was in LA, I was doing horrible.
Mm. What were you doing for a job?
Comedian. I was working at a front desk at Cycle House, which is like a Soul Cycle. And I would work there from 4:30 in the morning until noon.
Okay.
And then I was a tour guide at Malibu Wine Safari.
What is this? Do you know what this is?
No.
Malibu Wine Safari is Malibu Wines in Malibu. It's a family-run winery.
Okay.
So then they had me as a tour guide for all their animals. So they had llamas and giraffes. They had other tour guides,
too. What the fuck? It's not a winery? Weird.
It's a winery. You go, you tour, you see all their animals and shit, and you drink wine.
Whoa.
What kind of animals?
What does that make like for? What kind of people are going to this? This is
an adult style. Weird, rich old people. And because the tours are $75, the tips were not very good.
So you graduated college and you hit comedy, right? You never had like a real career or anything like that before.
What do you mean? Oh, no,
like,
I didn't.
Like, I worked in marketing for like 9 years.
No, because I went to USC and I started Groundlings my sophomore year.
Right.
And my improv teacher says, "You're not good at this. You should do stand up." He was like, "I can tell you're funny, but like improv is not your game." Mm-hmm. So then I started doing stand up.
Are they allowed to say stuff like that?
That's rude.
You know, it is rude, but it was actually so true. I was horrible at improv.
Yeah.
And people would be like, you know, you have to yes and. I remember one time the guy was like, "Oh, we're horses." And I was like, "No, we're not." Actually, not horses, and oh never will be.
That's so funny. Your graduation show, like his parents from the crowd.
Exactly. I remember in UCB Improv 201, my parents and brother came. Yeah. This was like right around the time I was graduating, and I was so bad at improv. Yeah. My brother put his head in his hands, and there are like 5 people in the audience, so I can clearly see my brother just going, "Oh my god!"
Oh god!
That's how bad I was.
Dude, improv is so hard. I took UCB Improv, and I was the worst one in class. Like I couldn't do it.
But it's not, I don't even think that's like a bad thing.
Mm.
You know?
Like, yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
That's a really good
thing. I'm glad to hear that you're a success story right now and that you're doing financial well, knowing that you sucked at UCB.
I was never going to make a house team. Let's just put it that way. But I believe house teams make $0 an hour. So.
Oh, yeah, especially back then.
That's true.
So this is, how old were you back then? This is like what? You're 23?
I was 23 because I graduated in 14 and then I moved to New York in 17.
Okay, so you were like, so when you were working at the cycle.
But first, I was Pauly Shore's assistant. That was my first job.
That was your first job. How much are these three jobs you just mentioned? They're all assistants, like weird zookeeping jobs. Like, what are we making here? This is like not, because you said you weren't doing well, right? So this is like, you're barely getting by.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of hours, so you're like tired.
Yeah.
And you're doing, stand you're up. Failing at improv at
yeah.
night.
So yeah, so I was getting an Adderall addiction at the time.
Okay. I cannot tell if that's real or not, okay. But continue.
No, it's absolutely real. And I gained 20 pounds on Adderall. Can you believe?
Wow.
Why?
That's because I was drinking a lot.
No, you're supposed to like lose weight.
You're supposed to lose weight, but yeah. I was eating faster because I was in the IR. So I'd be like, just like eating baguettes like SpongeBob, you know, like, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah. Yo. That's crazy. Shit,
that's wild.
Yeah. So, okay. But I was up, and I was also up from like 4:30 to like 11 because I would do stand up. So right. If you're not sleeping a lot and you're awake, you're going to be eating more because you're up those hours. So yeah. I was literally eating from like 4:30 a.m. to like midnight.
Holy shit. So how much money were you making during this time?
I was probably making like $45,000 a year.
That's still 40? Good.
That's pretty good.
That's it. Well, shit, three jobs. But okay, so you did, that's very good. But you went to USC, which makes me think that
it's not very good. All my friends were getting jobs at Amazon and they were making like six figures out the gate.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're doing what? Like, and honestly, it wasn't until I moved to New York. I didn't move to New York with a writing job. I moved to New York because my manager was there, and then I auditioned for Comedy Knockout, that show.
Yes.
And they were like, she's too nervous, because I was nervous, but her jokes are good, so she can be a writer. And that was within the first week I moved to New York. It was actually crazy.
Okay, because that's my first impression of you. I remember our mutual friend Brian Park had introduced us because you knew him in LA.
Yeah.
And I remember you didn't really talk to me, and I was like, but you're also a writer, and so I was like scared to talk to you because you have to understand, like, when you're coming up in comedy, like,
that's,
I feel
so sweet. Your job, you're really like me?
your job like categorizes you in this like weird like hierarchy, and you feel like, especially when you're newer, you feel like you don't deserve someone's attention if they have a better job than you, which is the thing that really happens in entertainment. It doesn't really happen. I never felt that way working in advertising, like, just because somebody's a senior copywriter, I don't give a fuck about you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll like still talk to you or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in entertainment, I feel it's very like, oh, you can't talk to him because he did a set on Conan 3 years ago.
So, being a writer is like a pretty amazing thing.
Well, at the time,
thing.
It still is, but like, I was so new in comedy. I was like 3-4 years in that I was like, oh, she's like a professional comedy writer. Like,
yeah, that's how I feel. When I hear any comedian say that they're a writer for something, like, especially, I hear everyone say they work for Comedy Central, and I'm like, wow, they're like so fancy. Like, yeah.
That's hilarious because like, we just make TikToks and like do dumb shit.
Yeah. I'm like pitching like my dating life, you know, like my texting, and my boss is like, no. Like,
so was that Comedy Knockout was your first writing job? Was that Guild? WGA?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, so it's not. Okay.
But it was a lot of money.
Oh, right.
It was like $3,000 a week.
Wow.
That's incredible. And so you went from like, I don't know why I'm imagining ostriches at this wine farm you're describing.
No ostriches.
Not so ostriches. Nope. I don't know. I feel like rich white people like that shit. I don't know. But you went from that to making $3,000 a week. That's amazing.
Yeah, but I only had that job for 6 weeks. Five weeks.
Okay. Good.
And then the show got canceled, so that's how good I was.
But
on
those 6 weeks, did you feel you were like on top of the world? Because you're like in your 20s and you have this money.
I am such an anxiety. I have so much anxiety that I was like, holy shit, this is gonna end.
Right.
It wasn't like, I was the first 2 weeks, and then like towards the end, I was like, fuck, what am I gonna do next? Mm-hmm. So literally between that job, I heard about the creator's job at Comedy Central, but the first round was like a 2-month audition process, or maybe 3 months with the application. And so at the same time, I was training to be a caterer.
Whoa.
So then the day before my first catering job, I found out I got the Comedy Central job, and I got to quit the catering gig, and I was like, thank God.
Wow.
So there's only like 3 months between these two jobs.
Yeah.
And then you've been at Comedy Central ever since?
Yeah.
Oh, so you got like, I don't want to use the word lucky because you worked for it, but like you like lucked out a little bit in terms of opportunities.
I feel lucky is in terms of like being a comedian and making money. And I am so fortunate in that sense, but I still have the thing where I'm like, I want to be doing the next thing.
Sure,
I want to be on TV. I studied I studied film and television at USC. That's originally what I wanted to do. And I got into stand up because I was auditioning and I was like, I'm never going to get it through an audition. So I started doing stand up, and then, and I was bad at improv, but and I'm trying to train myself to be happier in the moment and like happier with what I have, because I always think that no matter what career you're in, if you have the mentality of like, you have to get the next thing, you have to get the next thing, mm-hmm. you're never going to be happy no matter what you get.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's important to, I try to celebrate wins, you know, because there aren't a lot of wins.
But you don't seem to like chase money necessarily. That's not really
me.
Like, yeah. Like when you're like looking for jobs, it's not like really about the financial.
Now it is.
It is. Is that because you're a little older now?
It's because I'm older, and it's because I like to travel, and I, you know, like my friends are, who have careers where they like have 401ks and everything. Like I like to go to dinner with friends. I don't want to go backwards where I'm like a struggling artist because I care about the art that much. Like I've already done that for, I already did that for like 4 years before.
Yeah.
It's fine in your early 20s, but now I'm just like, honestly, I would take a job at an advertising company mm-hmm. before I would like go back to like not
wine tours.
Yeah, wine tours.
Yeah.
Because I just, I'm just not in that place in my life. And I always think I'll be pursuing writing and pursuing it. So
I'm curious about your relationship with money. Like since you were young, like did you grow up with like, you know, the type of parents you had, you know, what kind of jobs they had?
So my dad worked, it was always, my mom was like a stay at home mom. And then my dad worked at the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, okay.
When I was from, or he worked at Cox Communications. We moved to Virginia from New Orleans when I was in the second grade, and then he got a job at the Chamber of Commerce.
Uh-huh.
And then he got laid off in the recession.
Oh, okay.
Oh, around 2008-ish.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was like when you were in high school.
Yeah, my brother had just gone to SMU, which is a private school and so expensive. My dad had just, and then my brother went to college, and then my dad got laid off, and he was out of work for 2 years. So like for 2 years, my mom like got like a part-time job, like trying to get money and stuff. But it's so hard, especially at that time as a woman, to like get back into the workforce.
Of course, because she hadn't been working since you had you guys, right?
Yeah. And like, and my mom was the number one sales rep at monster.com, not to brag. She was literally the number one sales rep left, and then she got laid off because she had kids and needed the benefits. So
wow.
It was like, so fuck. So my parents went to their broker and he was like, you should open this ServPro, which is a 24-hour water fire damage restoration company.
Oh.
So it's like fire damage, water damage, crime scene cleanup, like blood, water, mold, like
what?
Everything. Yeah. This is my parents. So my parents started, it's 24 hours. So my, it's,
what the fuck?
And my brother's in college. So it's my mom, my dad, this guy named Billy, who was clearly addicted to meth because he had zero teeth, but he was the best cleaner of all time. He was like spick and span, you know? And he was around the clock. Hello?
Where did they find this guy, Billy?
Craigslist, obviously.
Where Billy's live. Yes, of course.
Yeah, where Billy's go to get jobs and die. And then I was the receptionist. So I worked for my parents.
When you're in high school?
When I'm in high school. So I'd go to school every day, and then I'd go to their job and then answer phones. And I remember time I would watch the OC on the computer because my dad wouldn't let me watch the OC because he said it was like a bad influence, but they were out working. So I would watch it on the computer.
Yeah.
And then this guy called for a job, and I was like still watching the OC, but like writing everything down. And then I get an email being like, whoever your receptionist is horrible.
Oh my God.
She's clearly not paying attention. And I email back, oh yes, we've had so many problems with her. She's really going through a lot, and we're trying our best, but blah blah blah. And then I was like, we'll make sure to take care of it, and I deleted the chain, obviously.
Of course.
So.
Okay, wait, this is so crazy because like you went from living like, it sounds like you were just like middle class, upper middle class. I don't know what House of Chambers, was it House of Chambers?
Yeah, I don't know how much you made.
House of Chambers.
Chamber of Commerce.
I couldn't tell you what it was, but it was. It's a government.
None of us know.
It's a good job. You got what you needed in your life, so you didn't have to struggle. Growing up.
Yeah.
Like regular shit. But then you went from that to like where you're working. I mean, this is crazy because like we hear this story a lot from like immigrant kids, right? Like, I have a lot of friends who are like, oh, I worked at my parents' restaurant or whatever. Yeah. And now you're doing that. But instead of a restaurant, it's like this company that cleans up dead bodies or whatever from...
Yeah. Well, like, one of my best friends in high school, her parents... Yeah, her parents were immigrants. She was Asian and they owned a deli and she would go and work for them. Mm-hmm. And then,
right.
So I was like... She was like, oh, yeah, we're doing... like
we're the same. Yeah. How did that transition feel for you? Did you feel embarrassed or you're like, oh, but like, you gotta help your family? Like, emotionally, mentally, where were you
at? We were never like... super wealthy. So okay. It wasn't like we were going from like the Four Seasons to like never vacationing. Right, it was we were going to like King's Dominion, you know, it's like a Six Flags.
Okay.
We'd do
okay.
that in the summer to like not doing that.
Right.
You know,
it wasn't
we had a house with a pool. Like we were able to keep our house and my brother he had to apply to scholarship, but he got it. Like it was just an adjustment. But at the time in high school, I was so focused on, I was like captain of my dance team. I was, you know, National Honor Society. I was like doing all these things and focus. I was a straight A student. So I was so focused on doing well in high school that it really I didn't care about anything else.
Right. You're like, oh, I got to work a couple hours a week, whatever. Just put me in. Oh, that's
good.
And
I also
liked, really nice.
It was also very relaxing for me because when my dad didn't have a job for 2 years, it really stressed my mom out. So it was like, it stressed him out too, but like, the fear, like what you were saying, you did, at the beginning of 2023, you were like freaking out.
Yeah.
My mom has a lot of anxiety. I have a lot of anxiety, no shade there, but it was this feeling of like, are we going to lose our house? You know, and that.
Oh God.
So like when they had this business and my parents were pretty confident in it, I just felt like more relieved, like, oh, and then by the time I got to graduated, I got to UVA. So I was applying to school and thinking I was going to go to UVA, but my parents had built the business enough where I could go to USC.
Oh my God. This is an amazing success story.
It is.
Yeah, they just sold their business actually.
Wow. To retire?
Yeah, to retire. It's a franchise. So they bought the franchise for like, I guess I shouldn't say how much, huh?
But whatever you want.
They bought it for $250,000.
Yeah, which I think for franchise stuff, that's pretty, I think if you want to open a Dunkin' Donuts, I think it does cost like around that.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, and you have to take out loans. It's not like they just like drop cash. Yeah. But then they sold it for a lot more than that.
Yeah,
but they worked so hard, and like that's the thing where people always assume like you're this rich. People in comedy will say that. Oh, I just assumed you're this rich white girl, and I was like, I mean, like my parents eventually did do well, and like even when I was doing like the front desking and that, they still like help me a little, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. But I also am a very hard worker, and I think I got that from that experience, which is like and my dad said that too, because I was like, maybe I should become an agent, go the agency route, and then become a writer's assistant and do that. My dad was like, no, because I worked my way up in the corporate world for fucking 30 years and went to Georgetown for business school and then got the Chamber of Commerce job and got laid off. And it was so hard for him to get a job. He's like, especially when you're younger, pursue what you want and try work the hardest that you possibly can. And you'll still get further than like the person who does the corporate thing and doesn't work that hard. Like, holy, as long as you are a hard worker, you can get to where you want.
I love that.
I feel so motivated.
I know. We should all go like run or something. I don't know. We should celebrate. Yeah, that's really incredible.
I was like, I need to open up a serve pro.
It's a nightmare. And like, the jobs are crazy. Like, in my first summer back from college, and that also motivated me to get internships and stuff and like work throughout college and have an internship every semester because I did not want to go home and work for my parents. Because like the first summer I had to do that, and I was, since they found a receptionist, like they had built it, I had to be in the field. So like one job, like
she has to go out,
go
there.
And clean.
You have to clean?
Yes.
They made you fucking clean.
Scrubbed, yes. In a Tyvek suit.
Did they pay you?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I got paid $20 an hour.
Okay, that's
wait,
great.
Were you cleaning like dead people's houses?
So this woman died in February. They found her body in May.
Oh, no.
So me and my dad show up to the house. The guy goes, how old is she? And he was like, 19. He goes, she cannot come in this house. This woman had died. There's an outline of her body on the wood floor. It smells like fucking dog shit in this house.
You know what it smells like?
And she had diabetes and was a recluse, so she never left her house. She had been writing in shit on the wall.
What?
Like in like hieroglyphics.
Oh, so she's like a, like not there.
Yeah,
mentally.
It's really sad. Okay. But this was years ago. Time passed. Whatever. You know who the real tragedy was? Me cleaning this up.
You've experienced so much, my child. 19 years old. You see this?
Well, we didn't see the body. I just saw the outline. I could tell you.
But
probably,
you saw the crap on the wall.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so they had to like, yeah, we had to like air out the house, and then we started had to like gut it and clean it, and that was like a huge. I mean,
dude, this is not how you want to spend your summers. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's
and
crazy.
It's
you're like 19, you're like trying to hang out with boys, and you fucking. Yeah. This is insane.
But so my freshman year, I'd gained 15 pounds. Yeah. So that summer, I was determined to lose 20.
Yeah.
And I did because I was working out twice a day and going into the field, like doing these jobs and like cleaning in Tyvek suit. In 100-degree heat because you have to wear a gas mask, you have to wear like a mask and respirator, and so we're like cleaning and all this shit, and anyway I was like cut by fucking I had a perfect sorority rush. Okay,
that's so funny.
I dyed my hair blonde. I was like, let's fucking go, bitches.
Oh my god, that was a year.
Where do you work out? Crime scenes?
Yeah. What do you do? What do you lift? Dead bodies?
Oh my god.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
That is wild.
Okay, so you have this is okay, so this is your background. This is like what you saw your work in. You saw your parents work really hard. How do you think? Do you think that's really informed the way your relationship with money currently? Like, you know, do you have a lot of like debt, or like are you bad with money? Like, I don't know.
I'm horrible with money.
Oh, you are.
Absolutely.
So even with all that motivational speech Mr. Dickinson just gave, you are like.
Well, it's because like I also like. It's kind of like me with alcohol. Like I didn't really do it. I didn't really like drink alcohol in high school. I didn't really go shopping in high school. So then like, or I didn't in college either, because my parents, even though I was on an internship, like they would give me an allowance. I sound horrible, I guess.
No,
but,
that's okay. You're in college, dude.
Yeah. So
you had parents supporting us in college. Absolutely.
Yeah. But I didn't have, they didn't give me money where I could like go shopping.
Right.
I never went shopping. So then, and then after college, I couldn't really afford it. Cause I was like, again, like doing all these things. So this year when I first got the most, when I had disposable income that I should have been saving, like I bought this Gucci sweater, you know what I mean? Like it's so ridiculous. And I am working on it, but I also got sober and I went through a lot 2 years ago. So I was actually talking to my dad about this. I was like, I had a year to like kind of be like, fuck you with money.
Right. Just to like sort of compensate for the awful.
Yeah. And that's, and not being able to drink. And that's, I think where my addiction like went to was like online shopping.
Right.
Cause I also didn't date
that's
really.
Relatable.
Like I just like kind of was alone a lot. So I was buying like tube tops and like thongs and like, just like, weird. Like, I don't know. I'm still on Adderall. So I was like looking in the mirror and just like taking shots. I don't know.
Wait. Okay, I want to talk a little about that. Just for context, like, so we don't have to get into all the details, but like, your pandemic was fucking wild. We can say that.
It was fucking wild.
Got the herps. Okay.
Got the herpes.
Got the herpes.
$10 a month. I actually texted that bitch today. I go, hey, George, just want to remind you that you're a fucking piece of shit because.
I love that.
It's so hard to get Valtrex right now. And now I have to go book another doctor's appointment to go get my 90-day supply again. And I'm like, this fucking piece of shit. I go, hey, George, wanted to remind you. Hey, George, just want to make sure you remember that you're a fucking loser. And I said, I can't believe you gave me this disease. Yeah. The sex was 100% not worth it. And because of my anxiety, it is so hard to manage. And I just want to remind you that you.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
You can go fuck yourself. And I know that's not mature, and
that's okay.
People in recovery, including my therapist, would say that's not healthy. But I was so pissed off today when my Valtrex ran out and I tried to order it, and they're like, you have to book another appointment. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
right.
This is a scam. Wait,
what is Valtrex the medicine? That's the medicine.
Yeah, okay, it's because I have such bad anxiety. It's like easier to manage, but like stress level really like.
Wait, that's a herpes medicine or that's an anxiety medicine?
No, Valtrex is a herpes medicine. Okay. But because a lot of people don't have to take herpes medicines every day.
Okay.
Every day. I just do because my anxiety is so fucking bad and stress triggers it.
Yeah.
So even if I'm not having an outbreak, I'm like, I'm probably having an outbreak. You know,
it's
stressful to me that like being on the medication, I just would rather not.
Mentally, it helps you.
Yeah.
Even if it's placebo. But yeah,
that sucks because it's something that stays with you forever, right? So
but as you have it for longer, it is less
likely to come
strong,
out.
Yeah, strong in your blood. So like in like 10 years it might not even be detected in my blood.
That's really fucking nice. Annoying though. That's so fucking I know it's very common.
Okay, actually I'm gonna be 37. I'll be 37, bitch.
Okay, so that's that was like fucking, part one
so
of your you know wild COVID, and then you went to rehab, right? And then some other shit happened. And
well, I went to rehab because I was
you can say it.
I was abducted and raped in an Uber.
In fucking LA.
In LA. So I'm like
so
a lot of,
sorry.
No, yeah. I mean, this is the podcast took a turn, but it's
we've talked about this before. So this is
No. Yeah, I've talked about this before, and it was like a very scary experience, and it was like it happened on my 29th birthday, and it was weird. I was on mushrooms one night, and I like was like, I have to go to rehab. And people were like, you're fine, just like relax. And then 3 days later that happened. And I was like, yeah, I gotta go to rehab. But it was like a mental health thing. I mean, and I realized I also needed to stop drinking, but
oh my God, that's
it really fucked up my life, obviously. Yeah. And I like learned a lot about my friendships through it, and that they weren't really friendships. It was just like a very tough experience. Mm-hmm. And then, but I also had been sexually assaulted at USC by the gynecologist. So I found out, you know, I got a settlement for that. So that a month after I got out of rehab, so which is so crazy. Mm. And so I kind of just like took this past year and a half to really just heal and like do my own thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I need to be more financially. Like my therapist was like, I mean, I bought an apartment, but I've just been kind of spending it like I'm an NBA player straight out of high school. And it's like, what are you doing?
Is your team of therapists like, you know, how long are you going to like keep using that as an excuse to act like an NBA player?
I have like, and even being like, I work really hard, I'm also a workaholic. Like have like the isms, you know what I mean? Yes. Like I have addiction and stuff. So it's like this year I really put it into work and spending money and trying to avoid eating, you know, just like the real hot bitch. Hot bitch lifestyle.
I think you owe it to yourself to be able to do what you want for the next so many years until you are comfortable.
Well, I'm gonna run out of money, so I think
this is what I hear from all this is that you're a very hard worker.
Thanks.
And I do think you have luck on your side as well. I have
unfortunate luck, but then I got luck.
Yeah.
We don't know what color it is, but she's got luck.
But I believe
she got luck.
That you are able to, like, you can manifest things for yourself, and you have been working hard, and I think that you owe it to yourself to be able to do what you want. Yes, you do have a time period. It sounds like you want to be smart about everything.
Yeah, I want to be smarter with it just because I also, like, I mean, I donate every month to, like, gun safety and, like, Planned Parenthood, but I want to be able to be, you know, more generous with money too.
I have
been pretty selfish with it, but again, I'm like, I had a pretty like, it's been so crazy like my past 2 years that I'm just kind of like ready for like, you know.
You're also very self-aware. So like it is all gonna come around to you, and you sound like you already know what you're doing wrong. Like, you know, like you, this is not like you're going through
the sweater. She's wearing it.
Does she know? It's easier to take a long, hard look at myself in the mirror when I'm wearing this Gucci sweater, you know, because it's so fucking good.
This is what I want to ask you, because like, okay, this shit, what you described, awful shit, right? But what I want to understand is, because America, you know, is a capitalistic society, and I feel they prey on weak people. And sometimes I feel like, and I don't know for sure, but do you find that, like, yes, you quit alcohol, but are there expenses that come with someone who is in alcoholic, like recovery or going to rehab or like even herpes, for example? Like, is it, have you been okay? Or like, are there like weird expenses now you're like, oh, this is like actually kind of adding up? Or is there anything like that?
Well, Valtrex is $10 a month.
Okay. That's not bad.
It's not bad, but it's like still annoying.
It's annoying.
It's annoying. It's $120. A year, George.
And it's also annoying that, that you have to pay for it.
Shout out to George.
You know, we need to get him to pay for it.
Trust me, I've already Venmo'd him and he has declined the request. So
it's $10.
George,
yo, someone find George. But what about like, is rehab expensive?
Rehab's very expensive.
Okay.
And that my parents did pay for, which I could have gone to, like, they have different levels of facilities.
Right. And I want to make it clear, the rehab has been working amazingly for you.
Yeah.
So I would say whatever you paid is worth it, you know?
Yeah, it has. Mm. And like, since I've gone, I've had two people in my life who needed help went to the same rehab.
Okay.
And like, their lives have gotten a lot better. And like, so I feel very fortunate. And I feel very fortunate that my parents were in a place to support me, but it was very expensive. And they do have cheaper rehabs. But my friend
who went to like one of the rehabs that's like it's like a public school rehab, I guess you would call it.
What the fuck does that mean?
It's like very cheap. It's like,
Publicly funded.
Publicly funded rehab. The reviews are hilarious.
Oh, there's Yelp reviews for rehab.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God. What did it say?
It was just like, they left me out to die. Like, it's just like, it's like Firefest reviews, you know, like the food and like everything else. But and you meet some characters, but you meet characters in every rehab.
Yeah.
But it is very expensive. But I do think it's worth the expense if you can afford it. Like, it's a life changing experience. And I was trying to go to AA for so many years before that, and I couldn't like stick to it. But then in rehab, I had my brain scanned. Like, I had all these therapies that just kind of opened my eyes. Also, it's kind of hard to drink again once you've gone to rehab.
Why?
Wow.
Because you're like, you know, she went to rehab.
Oh, your friends
no one really wants to drink with you after you come out of rehab.
They're That's like, actually amazing, because I do feel like, I mean, peer pressure is what people get. What people like get back into their vices because come on, it's one more
fine.
Drink.
Yeah, yeah, who cares?
But if you went to rehab, it's like, no one's, and you make that known. You talk about that a lot, you know,
yeah.
Stand up, podcast.
Well, also, a lot of people have heard what has happened to me. So it's like, why would I ever want to drink again?
Right, there's
no part of me that feels worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And also in rehab, when I had my brain scan, they told me that they basically, it felt like a horoscope or a psychic reading, because he was like, oh, you're this percent creative, do you do this for work? Like, and he was like, your brain operates, most people operate at like a 17% and yours operates at a 31%, but it's not like I'm smarter than everyone else, I'm just overthinking everything. So when I have one drink or two drinks, I am at a level where most people are normally with anxiety. So it's like, my brain registers it as like a medication and like, oh, this is great. So I don't have that thing in my brain that's like, oh, you're getting too drunk. Like I'm missing that switch.
That's wild.
Yeah. So knowing that, it's like, I used to always be like, oh, I'll only have this many, and I could never do it. And now I'm like, it's chemically like impossible for me to drink.
Wow.
Do you feel like you're safe? This is like a weird question, but do you feel like, cause you don't drink, you're saving a lot of money?
So much money.
Because we had a guest on last time who Steffi does a podcast with.
Dumb, yeah.
And we were looking at his credit card statement. It was wild. Like every week, $500 on a karaoke room.
He spent like $5,000
on alcohol,
month. He would go to, like, he would buy for the, he'd get drunk and then he'd buy the whole group.
Yeah,
of
I'm not saying he's not alcoholic, not per se. We don't know. I don't know his.
Went sober after our pod.
Oh, he went sober after our pod?
Yeah. Our pod has changed people's lives. Like, I'm talking, because they're talking about these really intense, like, things about their childhood and talking about their finance. I don't know. But he did go sober,
I think financially.
He's sober right now. But I'm kind of curious. Like, now I want to send him to your rehab, because he has started going to AA. He's open about this. But
wow.
Of this podcast?
Not specifically, but
the thing is, I think this forced him to look at the numbers, and it was like, we were like blown away at how much, and I know he's doing well, but even if somebody was a billionaire, was like, this is a lot of unnecessary spending.
We were, you know? I think he wanted to be shamed. He grew up being shamed, and we did that for him, just like by him being on
is
the
he
pod.
Single?
He is single.
He's a rapper, though. But he's Asian, but, so.
I know.
Is he a good rapper?
Is he? I don't know his music very well.
I mean, he's my friend, so yes, he's like a rapper.
We're on camera. He's an awesome
he's
rapper.
Great comedian.
We just asked this. Yes, he's a great
absolutely.
Wait, so do you think you've been saving money? Like, do you feel it?
Yeah, like I went to Miami actually for New Year's with my college roommate who's also sober.
Yeah.
And she recently got sober. And we used to get so fucked up together. Like one night we woke up in the middle of the night. We're like, what is that? Because we had put chicken nuggets in the oven and like passed out. Like it was just like so crazy. And we split a boat one day that was like $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt like a lot, but we had a bunch of people on the boat. Like it was so fun. It was like the funnest day. And I was like, honestly, like that was a huge expense. But had we been drinking all weekend, we would have racked that up.
Oh, for sure.
In Miami. Yeah.
For sure. With,
like the drinks, and then you get when you get food when you're drunk, like just the shit that you do when you're drunk too is like, oh yeah, let's go get a tattoo, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
Steph and I always talk about how like dating in your 30s is weird because like money is a big part of it. And so we were talking about how like if I was a millionaire or something rich, I would date all kinds of women. But if I'm at where I'm at right now financially, I feel like what your job is and how like if you're financially sound is a factor if I'm looking for a life partner. And do you still feel that way? Or because you feel like you can take care of yourself, you don't really care about that as you're going on dates? Like if somebody's like, oh, I'm a skateboarder, but he's nice and he's hot and you like him and he makes $17,000, you're like, you don't care. You know what I mean?
No, I would care. No, not because of that. It's not about money to me necessarily, but it's about like ambition and where they see themselves. So like if someone is like fine with where they're at and they like make, say they, someone, a guy makes $70,000 a year, which is a good, it's a good
this
salary.
Yeah.
It's a great salary, but I do make significant amount more than that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I wouldn't want to date him long term because I like to go on certain vacations, or like if I have kids, I would want to have a certain life for them.
Yeah.
And like, I just, if you don't care about money in the same way I do, like it's going to cause a problem. It's kind of, to me, it feels like religion.
But
if you don't treat it like the same, if you don't have the same values, is that not the same?
No, I'm kidding.
But I mean, like, you know what?
He's so nice though, and he like cooks for you.
That sounds, I'm dry as hell, but are you saying that? No, that's not true. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. If I truly fell in love with someone, of course I wouldn't care. But am I falling in love with a skateboarder who makes $17,000 a year?
No,
I fucking hope not. Like, it's not. But if someone is like making less,
but like, okay, 70 is an interesting number because it's like not a lot, but not little. And I feel like someone's like a public school teacher. Maybe they only make 70, you know?
They
maybe the cap is 100.
No, they make less than that.
Right?
I think public schools make less than that, but they have great benefits, blah, blah.
I guess I would date them long term, and I would wait to marry them until I was in a place where I could fully support a family in the way I wanted to, and he could be more of like the stay at home
dad. You'd be okay with that?
I would be okay with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I also don't know if I want kids, because I think there does need to be a parent who's around a lot.
Yeah.
And because I do work a lot, I wouldn't be around a lot. And so if a guy made less money than me, but he was able to take care of the kids, like, I feel like that would be ideal. Like, I want to be daddy.
Right.
Yeah. But it's more about, like, if a guy's like, I don't want to go on a nice vacation, I don't think it's worth the money, I'm like, well, I do, and I want a guy who wants to go on vacation with
me,
you know?
Right.
Is that horrible?
No, it's just like, so I feel like we're kind of in a similar, I'm in the place you're talking about right now. The person I'm dating is like someone that doesn't spend lavishly like I want to. I can't go on these vacations. Like, we're about to go on vacation and I can't, like, it's like everything is so like, I have to like care
budget
about
conscious?
Like, yeah, budget conscious. It's not a 5-star hotel. It's a 4-star hotel, but I gotta read all the reviews to make sure that it feels like a and it's like, oh, but he's so nice and he cooks and he cleans. And that's why I was like asking you about that. And I was like, you know, like, I'm not financially stable anymore the way I used to. So it's like, oh, but he's so sweet and I care for him. And I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, I think about the future. How am I going to like stick with this person? If I were to stick with him, I could see a future with him. I would have to make a shit ton of money. Like, cause
you gotta be daddy.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that.
Or you have to give up the value. Like you have to forfeit like the nice lavish things that you want. What's your sign? Your horse.
I'm a Virgo.
Stop, Hannah.
I'm a Taurus.
Whatever you're about to do, stop.
No, why? No,
I feel it. All my horoscopes like you like to spend money. You like nice things, and I'm like, it's the horoscope.
No, for me, same thing. It does say that. Yeah. It does say, and I'm a Scorpio. My like Venus is in Scorpio, which again means that I care about material things. And so like I'm just hoping we both can like either start another business or like, you know, we could do something together, or I could just make more money in some other way.
And I also feel like we're all young enough where like money right now is not like,
are we?
As a woman, none of us have kids, like my, you know, once you have kids it's like, oh fuck, like
yeah, I don't have that much time. That's what I'm saying. I'm in my 30s and I have to consider these things that like in the few next few years I'm like, fuck. But I also want a caretaker. I need someone to like a nanny to take care of my kids. Like I
so
can't.
It sounds like you need to make more money.
Yeah.
I have to make more money soon, like really fast. Or okay, I have to find somebody else.
Let's get some sponsorships in this bitch. You know?
MX, Chase, where you at? Where you at? Let's move on to our favorite segment. Oh, it is the unofficial audit, where we look at Hannah's credit card statement for the month and see what she's been up to. Get into the psyche.
Hell yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Can you tell us also, first of all, like what credit card do you have?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so I have three credit cards. I sent you one of them.
Yeah.
I sent my Chase Sapphire card.
So you have three. So I wanted to ask you this because people always send us one credit card statement. What kind of credit card is this? Not like, is this your business card? Is this the one you use for like certain things, or do you just have three and you kind of use them equally?
I don't use them equally. I use my Chase the least.
Yeah.
Because with my To America Express, I get points for Delta. They're both Delta cards.
Oh, Delta cards. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this was my first credit card I ever got.
Since like 2015 or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we looked at it and there is a few questions I have.
We have a lot of questions.
We have a lot of questions.
Oh, God.
The first one I just wanted to know is, I noticed you went to Plump Cosmetics.
I do a monthly there.
What do you do there? It looks like at the end of last year, we're looking at your December credit cards.
Yeah, so it's $250 a month, but I get 7 facials a year and then 1 complimentary facial for a friend. And then you get like 200 units of Botox and like 4 syringes of filler. So I got like my cheeks, I got some lips, I got my Botox done.
You look so natural. I wouldn't think there's no way I would have thought that.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't tell people. But
people in New York, this is the difference. It's because you're from New York. And like, I think people in LA, and I'm from LA, they care about making it look like, hey, like like someone that had this much stuff done, because it means that I'm wealthy. I take care of myself. It's different.
New
Yorkers are much more like, I feel like, reserved about it, or they want to look like just like themselves, but just like a little elevated. Natural is very important over there.
Yeah,
they hate the LA look.
Is Plumps? It's like a salon.
Yeah, so it's like, you know how you got me that Heyday gift card?
Yes.
So sweet. It's like Heyday, but they their facials are like more invasive. So it's like, I got a laser facial.
Okay.
I got a chemical peel, a hydrofacial, which is where they like suck everything out. I got just like weird, an aqua gold. So they put like Botox and like collagen, and they kind of puncture your skin a little bit.
Yeah.
It's very painful facials.
Considered plastic? It's not plastic surgery.
No, it's not. It's okay, not. Okay, okay. It's just like cosmetic upkeep. So that's, did you say that you spend $250
a year?
A month
on that. So that is a part but you're not an actor. Would you say you're an actor also? I don't
you know.
If it's like,
I wouldn't say the guild sees me as an actor.
But at some point, you wouldn't mind acting if people like.
I've auditioned. I got a call back for a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial.
Hey. High five! But that was dope. That is really cool. Honestly, that's actually 250.
I mean, if that's
a hair,
if that's
people spend that much for a haircut. Of course, a haircut, of
and like it's like if you add up with the Botox and the filler and all that shit, that shit's so expensive on its own. Like
that seems cheap. $250 sounds really cheap.
A month? No, yeah, it's a monthly thing. And I actually just downgrade to make it $200 because I'm getting less filler because I already have enough. I think.
Yeah. Well, you could never tell.
Thank you.
I could never
tell. That's the point. I just want it to be subtle.
Love it.
Loves it. I just want when I suck a dick, they're like, nice. I want to have a less cheeky blowjob.
Doesn't say nice when they're getting a dick sucked.
Me?
George?
George. George.
Well, okay, so I'm glad I asked you what kind of credit card this was because I was a little concerned that you weren't buying any food. You had, and on this credit card, you only ate twice and one was McDonald's. And I was like, Hannah, what happened?
I'm like, doing this thing where I don't eat and I just spend all my money on cosmetic.
Good. That's good.
Materialistic.
You went to McDonald's and then you went to this place called Kismet, which we talked about the other day.
Oh, yes.
Is it Lebanese? What is it? Persian? What is that?
It's Mediterranean food and it's absolutely overpriced. And I loved seeing yours because I think it just shows like how ridiculous it is to spend that much money in LA on this type
of
food.
$18.93.
How come all our bills
have no alcohol?
That's no alcohol.
Insane.
That's insane. How many? Just two people or one person?
Two people.
You spent that much too.
I guess. Wait. He had a glass of wine. One glass of wine.
Yeah. So I went with Maria and it was about $89.
That's fucking crazy.
That's expensive. And I was so gassy after that meal. That was $89 worth of farts.
It was all air. What the fuck? That's crazy.
I was tuning all night. Oh, yeah, I definitely wouldn't go back. And the waiters were so rude. Like, I got there before my friend and they're like, yeah, your table's not ready. Do you mind waiting outside the door and like to the left? I'm like, so like outside? And they were like, yeah. And then they were like, you're a little close to the door. Do you mind? And I was like, who is this woman in gaucho pants just yelling at me?
Wait, was this a date or was just a friend?
No, it was a friend.
Oh, it was a friend, but you paid for them.
No, we split it.
It was it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you paid for her. This is
just your meal. Ooh, it was $80.
We split it. Yeah, we split it.
That's expensive.
But
right?
I took this friend from college, and he's
a lot.
No, he doesn't eat a lot. But we just like ordered. You know, he's like one of these guys who loves apps. And yeah.
I was
like,
loves the apps.
I let him order because I'd never been there. So I was like, all right, do it up. I don't care.
It's all right. No, we talked about how it's like, it's fine. But it is a little pricey for what.
And the waiters are fucking pretentious as hell.
I know. They think they're hot. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like,
they are hot, kind of.
Sometimes I'm like, am I just paying like a hot person to serve mediocre food? And like, that's the premium, you know?
Okay, the McDonald's thing we figured out. Mm-hmm. What's your go-to McDonald's?
Oh, yeah. What do you spend
$10? Chicken nuggies. I got chicken nuggies. I got my dog a burger.
What are you talking about?
Get your dog McDonald's?
If I'm eating it, she's going to be wanting it. So, yeah, I got her cheeseburger.
That is the craziest thing I've heard.
Is this a thing you said today?
No, I mean, people treat their dogs.
Yeah, according to TikTok, they're giving them like quail eggs and shit, you know?
Yeah, like turkey, healthy things. Like things legs. You want to keep the dog alive. Wait a second. We're going opposite of the natural.
No. But you know what? I don't want to shame you that. I don't want to shame you that much because, like, when my dad had a dog when he was younger, and Japanese people, it's very common to give your dog whatever the fuck you had for dinner. But we're giving them like homemade miso soup shit. Okay, yeah. It's not like flavor
or
fish.
Sweet potato
maybe. You know,
this is very interesting to me because I think as a dog I would want a McDonald's burger. I'm sure that tastes better.
I don't give him the whole thing.
Yeah, so that's my other question: is are you getting him a separate meal, or is like you eat half and you're just like, here you go?
Well, I give her half. It's a her.
Okay.
And I throw the other half away because it's $1 for a burger.
Okay.
So I guess that's horrible. I'm wasting food. I'm so sorry. But
No.
It's a dollar.
I love this.
I'm going to get trolled so hard.
I'm sorry. I judged you so hard.
No, there's no judging here.
I got a meal. So I got a chicken nugget meal and then a burger. And then maybe I got a McFlurry. I don't know.
You deserve it.
Ooh.
I love that.
Damn.
What's your go-to, Steffi?
At McDonald's, mm-hmm. I like the two cheeseburgers. I think it's the number two. Yeah, the number two.
The
it comes with the fries, but you get two burgers. It's been a while since I've been there to get a cheeseburger.
I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah,
number two is the quarter pound. I thought.
Yeah, I went through a phase, and then at one point I would just get the Big Mac. I love the Big Mac.
Yeah.
But I haven't had one in a while. Yeah. Honestly, recently I just get the, I get like, I go there for dessert, the McFlurry, or I get like just a cone, just a dollar cone, and then the coffee is like to die for.
I know, the coffee is right? so good.
So iced coffee, right?
That.
Do you get the iced coffee? Yes, you have to get the French vanilla
it's
coffee.
It's better than Starbucks?
It's so good.
It's so good.
I didn't know that.
I mean, there's so many more calories, but it's...
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. That makes
it's
sense.
Like a milkshake, truly.
Okay, gotcha.
Delicious.
Okay.
Okay, European Wax Center. So
I got my pussy waxed.
Yes, and I was going to ask you, what part of the body did you wax and what is the norm?
I got my full pussy and asshole waxed.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ready to bone a banker in Miami, and I was completely blown off.
Fuck that person, too!
Fuck, he didn't even know that shit was fresh.
Nope.
He didn't even know.
I want to know, is your type, do you have type? And do we hate
horrible.
This type?
It's a horrible type. Yeah, it's like a banker who like type? Hates me.
But that just gets you going, huh?
Wait, can I ask, is $10 okay? Because I've never gotten, I'm a man,
wax, no. So I have like a wax pass that I got like 4 years ago, but because I was getting laser, I couldn't get waxed. But now that the laser's over, I still have some stubble, and I was like, well, I can't show up like, you know, like a barkeep, like.
Okay, so $10 is normal for pussy wax.
No, because I got it. I $10 tip.
$10 tip. Oh, because you already have the pass or whatever.
Yeah. So
how much do you spend a year on just the wax pack?
Well, I bought it a year ago or like 3 years ago, but it was like $120
For the year.
No. Maybe $150
Oh.
So like each wax? No, maybe $200 It's a. I don't know.
Wait, what is the... So if you didn't have a pass and you're like, I'm going to get my pussy waxed right now, how much on average does it cost?
Like $80
Wow. Okay, so you paid $120 for the year?
No, maybe not $120 Maybe it's $250
But that's still good because $80
Yeah.
And you're going $300
maybe?
Times.
I don't know.
I was going to say, I thought you paid this, like, I just imagined the poor immigrant woman getting paid $10 to fucking wax your pussy.
No, but a $10 tip does seem cheap now, but it literally only took 10 minutes.
That's fine.
And there wasn't a lot of hair down there because I'd already been lasered. So her, and I had to really clean my butthole. So it's not even like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I mean?
I've never gotten anything waxed.
I've never gotten
lasered? I'm scared to get anything. No, I've never done laser. I usually keep a bush.
Yeah,
I keep everything. Like, I don't know. It makes me feel more like I'm doing something for women. I'm not shaming anyone else, but like for some reason, I'm just doing something for women.
I'm
now.
Doing something for children. I shouldn't say that.
Future. Wait. Did you say I should like cut that out? No,
yeah, cut that out.
Have you always had the armpit?
Or no, there was a time when I was dating that. When I was 22, I dated someone that was like older, who was like more financially stable, who was also probably fit into the criteria of the type of banker you would date.
Is he single?
No,
he's dead.
He married someone who created like a very famous app, who's like really wealthy. So now he's wealthy.
Mark Zuckerberg?
No, we're not going to mention this stupid dude. But anyways, it made me always feel like I had to be like hot for him. So like during that time, I would really upkeep my, I got like fake tans, pushed up my titties.
Yeah.
I shaved everything, wore heels like anytime I was ever. So anyways, during that time, I was really insecure, didn't have a job. Really.
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, I compensated by looking good. Yeah. So now that was when I would shave myself. Right.
But that was 10 years ago or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
So now, since then you just like,
unless like I have a job, like, you know, if I have a modeling job.
You shave your pussy for a job interview? What the fuck are you talking about?
If I have like a bikini type of thing or I have to like, then I will. Yeah. If they see me there, I will shave it. Cause there are certain companies or brands that they don't want it. They don't want it there.
Right.
So like, are you trying to like, okay. So I know that you are working on yourself in other ways, but in the dating world, are we trying to find someone now who is much more like also going to be stable?
Yeah. I think so. Interestingly, after this guy bailed on me for the like 100th time, I was like, oh, I have to get off Adderall. That was like my takeaway.
Okay.
Because I felt like the Adderall was giving me anxiety, and I felt like it was like kind of like pushing me into like, I don't know. I just don't think Adderall is good for you in general.
How much is it? I have to ask a financial lady.
It's $10 a month as well. But I only get, I would get like, yeah, the 50 milligrams a day.
Is that a bigger dose?
No, not really. Okay. It's, not, it's like, yeah. But I felt like it was making me like impulsive, I guess. Mm. And he was kind of like this, he's an unwell guy. And he's very, and then I found out more information after from friends. I was like, where the fuck was this information months ago? But my attraction to him, I was like, there's something off with me, mm-hmm. because I was still chasing this person who showed me zero signs of like stability or kindness or like honesty, like everything that you would want in a person he didn't have. And I was like, there is something in me that like needs to be fixed if I am chasing this type of person. And I was like, I just have to get off literally everything. I was also taking edibles sometimes, and I'm off of that too. I'm literally off of everything.
Congratulations.
Wow. I mean, it's been 9 days, so we'll see.
Yeah. And you're saving some money, at least with like the prescriptions and all that stuff.
Yeah. I just feel like, and I, but it's also, it felt like he was a representation. Like nothing was out of control, I would say, but he was like, there was always something like, should I be completely sober? You know, not just off alcohol, just, and I was never really into like hard drugs. Like,
right.
So it wasn't, that wasn't an issue, but like, should I get off every substance? And then when that happened with him, I was like, yeah, I need to get off everything. Cause I need nothing to, nothing to manipulate or like, he was gaslighting me so hard that I was like, I need nothing that can alter my way of thinking or my emotions.
Well, okay. I want to say love can, the chemical and all that can also be like a substance. It could be like, I notice, you know, I'm not saying this is happening to you, but I know people who have gone sober and then the next thing is like slaw. Right, they're doing AA, and it's like love is this new thing that they need to like get into or whatever.
I don't even know what love is, you know, like it's like I don't know, maybe but I do feel like now I've been better with guys too, like if they, I don't go out that much, like I'm not addicted to dating or anything, it's just like this guy was like one of the guys that I had been talking to this year, and he was so horrible, like just like, and I know that sounds very biased, but like he's done a lot of, then I recently found out he's done a lot of horrible things in his life. And I, so I'm not afraid to say he's a horrible person. And the fact that I like was so blind to it or like didn't put myself first in that situation, I was like, no, he sucks. And I need, it's my fault for like giving him a million chances. Like that is something that is my problem.
So it was meant to be when this blow off thing happened and now you're in a new year. And
yeah, it actually was like great. He, cause I hadn't seen him since a wedding we met at, and it'd been like 8 months of this like fuckboy shit. He lives across the street from me in New York.
But he rents or owns?
He rents.
Oh, he rents. That's right.
I don't know. If he owned, he's allowed to gaslight. If he owns in New York, he's allowed to gaslight.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then we were, And then he was like, yeah, change your flight to meet me at brunch early. And I was like, all right, well, this is going to require a layover in Atlanta. And he was like, done. And then blew me off.
Did you pay for the ticket?
I thought he said done.
No, he was done deal. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I thought he meant done as in like I got you. Like
No. I was like, I have to have a labor and it was points, so it was like 5,000 points.
Still,
but like
points?
Still,
we love points here.
trust me, I love points as well. And then when he goes, and then he blows me off and texts me that night, like, hey, how's your trip been? I go, are you fucking kidding me, dude? You are so fucking pathetic that you didn't even apologize. You didn't even officially blow me off or apologize. He goes, sorry, I thought it was more casual, but looking back at our text, it was more definitive. I was like,
Oh my God.
Are a fucking piece of shit person. No. Oh, and now you want me to come to your hotel room and fuck you? No, bitch. No, this pussy is staying dry.
Wow, Hannah Dickinson, everybody. Wow. Hannah, where can our listeners find you? Anything you want to plug?
My Instagram. You know, I post a lot of thirst traps in Miami and lost some followers. So please follow me at HANSDICKIE.
Hell yeah.
Hans Dickie.
And if you want to see more lewd pictures of Hannah, also go to her LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Where she's wearing a bikini tick.
I thought you were going to say her like OnlyFans or something.
No. LinkedIn. No. She don't fuck around.
Okay, cool.
You can also follow me on Instagram and TikTok at TheFumiAbe. That's THEFUMIABE.
And find me, Stuffy Bake, at my IG is Baked Goods, BIKEDGUDS. You could go to my website to find everything else, stuffybake.com.
We also have a joint Instagram account, Cash Cuties Pod, at Cash Cuties Pod. It's Instagram and TikTok, I think. Please follow us. And if you want to email us any like financial shit like that you're going through that you want us to talk about, please email us at cashcutiespodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about it on the thing. And I think that's it. Cuties, we'll see you guys next week. Until then, please spend your money wisely.
Or not. And then tell us about how you spent it like an idiot.
Bye. Bye.